Good morning, everyone. It is March 1st, 2022. It is 10:03 a.m. And there is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's move right along to item number three on today's agenda. This is for discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for March 1, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder, folks on Zoom, you can use star six to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions about today's agenda?
No questions. Thank you, Jay.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion?
This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four, this is also for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for January 18th, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for January 18th? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding the minutes?
None, thank you.
Vice Chair?
Nope.
Do you entertain a motion?
Absolutely. I move to approve the minutes from our January 18th, 2022 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything regarding today's consent agenda?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No.
All right, do you entertain a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. We will move on to item number seven, this discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we are going to start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Morning, Commissioners. Two things for today. Let's start with a little bit of sad news. We had passing of a county resident yesterday, fellow out in the Highlands by the name of Gene Glazer. Gene was a little bit more than just a county resident. He was one of the original members of the Sheriff's Office CERT team. The last couple of years, with his age getting as it was and his abilities in decline, he's just been our executive director, advisor type, but still was a member of the CERT team. He passed away at home yesterday. There's that. The other thing, and that's something that we may have to agendize in the future, but just to give you a heads up, continuing problem with the off-ramp at Lowestown, the northbound off-ramp. We've been getting lots of complaints, lots of near misses. I myself was almost involved in a collision there by an NV Energy truck that was coming up that the wrong way. Something to chew around as And then, like I said, we'd come back and agendize it or have further discussions on it, but a little bit of consideration possibly to maybe closing that off-ramp entirely. Motoring traffic coming from town would have to go the additional 300 yards and turn at the actual turnoff. And then there's a passage where off-highway vehicles can come up and still stay off of the highway, but we don't have to worry about up and down traffic colliding there. So any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for the sheriff?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
No, thank you.
Any questions? Thank you for letting us know about Gene. Up next, we have the fire chief, Chief Lockhart.
Good morning, commissioners. Jeremy Lockhart for the record. Aside from the agenda items I have, I wanted to hit on one operational item. We're already experiencing some wildland fires within the region. So we're back into that season again. And we've kind of said in the past, it really doesn't have a season anymore. We're seeing it year round. But there is an uptick in some of the wildland fires within the region. So we're preparing for that now. And after the agenda, we'll advise more changes that will be coming there. On the administrative side of it, as we're working our way through our budget, we've been having trouble acquiring multiple items, and much of which in our capital improvement stuff. Our ambulance has been ordered after it was approved, and we were just notified that we will probably not see it until August. So at some point, we're going to have to carry over those funds. I've been in talk with Jennifer about those. And then as well, we've went over the amount of budget to get our BT rig in service, which we just got in service last week. So it shows you just the delay on parts and equipment and everything else to get that going. So because of the overrun in the budget, by almost $7,000, we've cut out other items within capital improvement, and we're just going to have to push those off for next year's budget and then hope for the best. So that's all I have to update at this time, and I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for Chief Lockhart?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
Thanks again for the update.
Thank you.
Moving on to Public Works, Jason Wersbicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Mike Northen in for Jason Wersbicki. He had a couple of items for the board. One was they are currently rearranging which roads to work on in Virginia City for the 2022 roads rehabilitation project. And he should have more for you on that later. The other item is that one of our drivers, while out plowing snow on Denmark Drive out in the industrial park, hit an unmarked trench plate that was out in the roadway. Driver is unhurt, but the truck did suffer some pretty heavy damage, and they are currently looking into that right now. And that's it for Jason's report. I can continue with mine if you like.
Please.
Just a couple of items. Lockwood Tower Road is currently out to bid. We currently have four plan holders right now, so we did get a little interest in that project. That'll be closing next week, and we'll receive bids and generate a staff report and come back with recommendations for the board after that. The other one is that we're getting into March, April area where we do the maintenance on the traffic signals out at USA Parkway. So I'll be working with our contractor to get that maintenance to happen. That does or can involve lane closure. So I'll be working and coordinating with NDOT, NHP, and local law enforcement when that work takes place. And that's all I have for the board today, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Mike?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
No, thanks for the update, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Mike. Moving right along to communications, Becky Parsons.
Hello, Becky Parsons for the record. I don't have anything much. We are working on to update our policy and procedures and get our quality assurance program going. And I have an opening in dispatch. That's all I got.
Thank you. Appreciate the update. Moving on to emergency management, Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. I hope that someday I cannot start every single report that I do with the COVID update. But our COVID update, cases continue to decline in Story County. Our most recent reporting period, we had 18 new cases. The period before that was 24, and before that was 38. So we are seeing a steady decline in positive cases in Story County. I don't believe Stacey York is on the call today, so I want to give our next COVID vaccination date, which is March 29th, from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Senior Center here in Virginia City. On February 17th, we handed out free COVID-19 home tests at the Mark Twain Community Center. The balance of our tests we handed out to school district employees and staff. So we have handed out all of the free home tests that Story County was allocated. If anybody's interested in getting additional home tests, they can go to, as with everything else COVID related, gethealthycarsoncity.org. They have information on how to order COVID home tests, the different locations that are still have those tests available. Last week, Honey Tapley and I went to the Nevada Emergency Preparedness Conference in Henderson, Nevada, and it was a really informative conference, as they usually are. We learned a lot of new trends within emergency management. We're able to do networking with other emergency managers that we haven't been able to see over the past couple of years. Also, a lot of corporate emergency managers and security specialists were at this conference, which is sort of a new trend that I'm seeing in emergency management. There were some great sessions. A couple sessions of note, there was a gentleman who uses a wheelchair who did a presentation on evacuation centers with regard to people with disabilities. It was really fascinating to get his perspective as a person with a disability who has gone to evacuation centers and gone through them as a disabled person. It was really interesting and gave us some good ideas on how we can better prepare for persons with disabilities within our own community. Another fascinating presentation was by the Director of Security Intelligence for Caesars Entertainment. She has a master's degree in psychology of terrorism, and her presentation was really interesting with the perspective of how private businesses are preparing for their own disasters, whether that is supply chain disruption, natural disasters, you know, fires or earthquakes, whatever else Mother Nature brings along, all the way down to bomb threats. So after her presentation, I talked to her about the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Of course, that was the first thing that came to my mind. She was not aware of the TRI. And so I talked to her about it, what it is and the businesses that are there. And so she agreed to do her presentation at our local emergency planning committee, which I think will be a great benefit for the businesses that are members of our LEPC committee. I think they'll get a lot from her presentation. It's a great perspective on how private businesses can prepare themselves. But also she talked about the relationship that their private business being Caesars Entertainment and their properties have been able to work with local emergency managers, the state, in their case, Clark County and Las Vegas. So it was a really interesting, and I'm looking forward to our LEPC members hearing that presentation as well. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mather?
Oh, thank you, Laura.
Yes, sir?
Excuse me. No, thank you.
Thanks again for the update. Moving on to community relations, Honey Tapley.
I have nothing until my agenda.
All right. Moving on to the VCTC, Denny Dotson. We will move on to skip water and sewer. We'll go to the comptroller's office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning, Chairman, board members. This is Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. All I would like to just let you know is that we're moving forward on our 22-23 budget. And this week, Austin and I and Toby, when she's available, and Dory are in department head reviews. So after this week, we should have some information. If any of you want to contact my office, I can go over the budget with you or any questions that you might have. That's all for me.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Move on to the assessor's office. Janice Seddon.
Good morning. I have nothing new to report today.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to the planning department. Kathy Canfield.
I have nothing at the moment.
Thank you. Recorder's office. Marnie.
Good morning. Nothing to report today.
Okay. How about the IT department? Is James on there? No?
Eric?
Oh, okay. All right. Human resources, we have anything, Jeannie? Okay. Community development, Pete Renault.
Morning, commissioners. Pete Renault for the record. Just want to let you know that we're going back to doing our dashboards. We've updated most of them. The one that really is glaring and comes out is the permitting. Since May of 2021, we've had 337 permits issued. On top of that, we've had 23 single family residents issued. That's quite a bit of building out in the Highlands and in the Mark Twain area and in Virginia City. Also, there's a lot of dirt being moved right now out in the industrial park. A lot of these projects have hit the ground and they're moving millions of yards. So Austin asked me to just kind of touch on some of them. Some of them still have some NDAs and whatnot pending, but we've got some very large spec buildings going in. These are, you know, upwards 600,000, 700,000 square foot warehouses. We don't have any drawings uploaded, but we've got some preliminaries for at least three other smaller ones that range anywhere from 400,000 to 200,000 or 200,000 to 400,000. Again, a lot of activity out in the industrial park and a lot of interest in properties and companies moving into existing buildings. That's all I've got for today.
Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Pete?
No questions. Thanks, Pete.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you, Pete.
All right. Thanks again for that update.
Thank you.
Community chest, Eric Schoen.
Yeah, good morning, commissioners. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you. Let's see who else. See Judge Harrington on there? How about the DA's office?
Keith Loomis, DA's office. I just have one thing to report, and that is that as you may recall, Mary Lou Wilson sued the county over the issuance of a special use permit to Stericycle for their project in the industrial park. Judge Russell dismissed that lawsuit for lack of standing on the part of the plaintiffs. That was appealed to the Nevada Supreme Court, and last week the Nevada Supreme Court upheld Judge Russell's decision, so that case is done.
Thank you. All right, well, let's move on to the County Manager's Office. County Manager Osborne.
Sheriff's Chairman, thank you. Austin Osborne for the record. Just a couple things. Let you know, we are in the process right now of working with LP Insurance to market our casualty and property insurance. So they're looking at the market right now. We're also assessing and looking at the market for workers' comp insurance. So we'll know in the next couple of weeks what we're looking at as far as our a pool of folks out there to choose insurance in those areas, and then ultimately back to this board for consideration of a determination. Just want to remind the residents in Lockwood, there's a town hall coming on March 10th at 5:30 at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse. The principle of that is really to discuss the progress of the Tahoe Pyramid Bikeway for that has now been progressed up to about the railroad trestle, roughly a mile west of Lockwood, and then roughly 2 miles east of Lockwood. And they'll start wanting to fill that gap. I've already reached out to folks out there, and I relayed the board's interest to say what that community wants is what the county's looking at supporting. But we'll get a chance to scope that community and see what they would like to talk about. And then also it'll be an open topic town hall where any other topic anybody would like to discuss for an hour would be available. Last, as the fire chief had talked about equipment being on back order and parts and supply chain issues, we have a couple replacement pickups that need to be replaced. And I'm being informed 6 to 8 months to get a general pickup. The problem is if you're only going to make a couple thousand vehicles, you're not going to make fleet vehicles and sell them for $35,000. You're going to make the Ford Platinums, the Cadillacs, and the expensive vehicles that obviously we're not going to buy. So we are on back order. Trent has been doing a great job working with Jason and Jennifer to come up with some alternatives he's worked out to fill some critical need vehicles in our fleet and in accordance with the budget. Last Friday, as you're aware, we're ongoing with the legislature, and we pretty much have a annual legislature in the state one way or another. You look at it now, and we have to be on guard all the time. Part of that is we gave a tour, Commissioner Mitchell, myself, out at the across the entire county last Friday to PK O'Neill and Senator Tatro and Senator Settlemyer and our lobbyists and one person out of Tesla to give a tour of everything from American Flat, Virginia City and our water systems and our infrastructure. We went through the Highlands, talked about the issues that faced in that community. Went to Lockwood, visited some folks at the senior center, talked to them about the new center we're in the process of building and looking into, went through the LCC and the Rainbow Bend community to get a feel for the needs of those communities, and then went out to Tri-Center and did the whole gamut of everything, including a short tour of Tesla, which is about a 30-minute kind of look in, see what's going on and leave. Saw the affluent pipeline projects, and then the fire district folks out there gave the best tour of their equipment I'd ever seen, including the Quint truck. And we talked about the paybacks and the Tesla agreement and how all these mechanical things work with our development agreement and other matters. So it really wasn't just a tour about the communities. It was a tour about our obligations, about our agreements, our contracts, our tax structure, our revenues and expenditures, and all those elements that these folks really need to know in order to effectively represent us in the legislature, both on season and off. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Ms. Sherman?
No, thank you.
Thanks again for that update, Austin. Our last but not least, our clerk's office. Do we have anything, Dory?
I just want to thank you guys for the appointment. I know we weren't able to talk so much. We didn't have good service. But I know I have big shoes to fill, and I'm confident that I have been trained to fill those shoes. Real quick, candidate filing for the 2022 election starts March 7th through the 18th. It'll be in the clerk's office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Thank you, Dory. All right, that wraps up staff reports. We're going to get back onto the regular scheduled agenda. That brings us to board comments. I'll start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing to add today. Nothing to add today. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Vice Chair?
Just one or two short things. The first one is I just wanted to thank the sheriff for bringing up the off-road access issue. Just yesterday, I had a short conversation with the property owner right there who's affected people cutting across his land, talking about potential solutions on the private property side. And then also had a short conversation with the Reno City Councilwoman, whose district borders us. They're having some issues with people cutting fences and leaving gates open. So horses are getting down into the South Meadows. And I can't help but feel that if we had some better delineated access for the off-road vehicles. There would be less of that. Ironically, those fences are across private land. I think a lot of people assume that it's public land that comes up the hills on that side. And then in conjunction with one of our lobbying firms, there may be a state agency that'd be interested in helping us delineate some better paths and get better interconnectivity between Virginia City and Reno. So that's just a side project that I'm working on. As that moves forward, certainly we'll bring it to the board if there's items to be considered. And then I just wanted to thank Austin for putting together the tour with those state legislators. I think it's and our lobbyists as well. They support us very well in that. And I think it's super crucial that we continue those efforts, because I think that most of the state legislators don't have any idea what's happening in our county, and it has substantial impact. And if they don't understand what's happening and what the situation here is on the ground, has the potential for us to get lost in the shuffle or to have things negatively impact the county. So I'm committed to being proactive and continuing those outreach efforts. And those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair. I don't have any comments today. So we will move on to item number 9, which is discussion only. No action will be taken. It's discussion of a proposed plan for the Carson River Mercury Superfund site, operable unit 2.
Good morning. So Kathy Canfield for the record. I just wanted to give you a quick update of what's been happening. The Superfund site, which was designated in 1990, was broken down into 2 operable units. Story County is in operable unit 1, and the Carson River and everything downstream of the Carson River is in operable unit 2. And the EPA just unit 2, which Story County is not a part of, but this is, you can tell, this is 20 pages long. the reason we are involved is because a lot of the comments that were coming out of the operable unit 2 reflect challenges that Story County had with operable unit 1 plan. Most significantly, the being able to apply to FEMA for disaster funding. That's been an issue where FEMA is pointing at the Superfund site because we're in the Superfund site that we should get money from them. In the Superfund, we're back of the line because there's no real company to go after for the mess. They have no idea how to clean it up. You know, so we're really at the back of the line, and we've had issues with trying to resolve that. Those comments have come out in the discussion of this document. And the Carson Water Subconservancy District has written a 10-page letter responding to this, which is very thorough. And staff have written a letter also supporting the comments that they've made in that this is something that needs to be figured out how to deal with. NDEP also wrote a letter and brought up the same issues and identifying that as an area of concern of how to figure that out. So I'm happy to discuss any of the stuff that's in here with you or with anybody in the public, either at the moment or they can contact the planning office with that. So comments were all due yesterday, and we're just now waiting to see what EPA is going to do with those comments. And so I'm sure that'll be ongoing. But Carson Water Subconservancy District has really been involved and been very thorough because they have a lot of concerns with the issues associated with the river also. So
thank you, Kathy.
Thanks.
Before you go, I'll ask if there's anybody in the public that has any comments regarding this. Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
I was just hoping, and I know they're in kind of different formats. Is there an easy way to get us over a copy of either the letter from the subconservancy, or it didn't make it into the packet, which is fine. The packet was plenty long without them, but 1,400 pages or whatever it was, but just digital or printed or whatever's easiest. I just would like to take a look and see what the conversation is.
Sure, yes, it's definitely, these are 20 pages, 10 pages long type documents. So
perfect.
I'm more than happy to send that to you and anybody else that wants to contact me.
Yeah, and even if there's just a link to somewhere where they're posted.
Okay, sure.
Whatever is easiest and most environmentally friendly.
Okay.
If you could include myself.
Yes.
Probably all the commissioners, probably best.
Sure. I can do
that. All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
All right, moving on to item number 10, this discussion only, no action will be taken. Presentation and discussion regarding strategic plan for Story County appointed departments, which will be included in submissions for the 2022-2023 budget.
Hello, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I'm going to pass the torch over here to Linda Ritter, who's been working with the department heads, and these are the appointed folks on developing our strategic plan. I just want to provide a reminder that this board had given a mission and a vision and a little bit of a roof structure of where to go. Linda's going to talk about, because of COVID disruptions over the last 2 years, we've inverted some processes that normally would go one direction. We've gone the other direction, hoping to match in the middle, but not to cause delay to the strategic plan. We started this process in 2019. At that point, you had given direction to staff and with Linda Ritter under contract to work with our department heads and elected officials, ultimately on a strategic plan. I just want to provide a reminder, which I did provide in writing to our elected officials, that ultimately we will get to their offices, but it seemed to be, according to Linda, a better approach to start with the elect or the appointed, because we follow under certain policies and procedures and consistencies and ultimately direction by me and by the board, where the elected offices do not. They have their own NRSs, their own directions, and their own processes they follow. So we want to work with them individually, and that way they can align with what they want to do in participation and then pull it all together. At this point, I'm going to pass the torch over to Linda. Thank you.
For the record, Linda Ritter, Linda Ritter Consulting. And first of all, let me say it's been such a pleasure working with Austin and the staff here. What a great team you guys have put together here. What we did with COVID, we were starting down the road of doing a strategic plan countywide, and we got right to where we're ready to start some public processes, and COVID hit. And if you can't get out and meet with the people, you're not going to get very good results. You know, a strategic plan from the county, from the top down, needs to come from the citizens. And so that public outreach was very critical. So what we decided to do is instead, let's look at what's happening operationally with all the departments. So I embarked on working with all of the appointed departments. And the reason, as Austin said, is because those are ones that he manages and that there's some flexibility how their operations run. Whereas the DA, the clerk, those are all statutorily authorized and they actually have much, they're autonomous from the board, except for when it comes to budgets. So I took all the appointed departments through a planning process, and it's important to note that it wasn't just the department heads, but it was their staff also. I was fortunate to meet all of the staff that work for the various departments and get their input, because I've always found that the people on the ground are the ones that really have the insight, often the insight to make good things happen. The result was, and it's in your packet, is the strategic plans for every department. You will see it in your budget this year, in your budget documents. So I wanted to just preview what those are and where those came from. The first page of what you'll see is a strategy map, which details the mission of the department, their goals and objectives. That's just a one page that explains what a department does. Very often you hear community development. Well, in different counties, what community development does may be a little bit different. And the average person on the street may not know what that is. And so that's just a very easy way of lining out what it is that we do. The next item is to give you some overview data, what's been the budget history and the staffing history for the department. And then we started working on some metrics, and I gave you an example for your packet from the communications department, because they are in a position, they have metrics. And let me give you an example. The metrics we're looking for are workload factors. So Austin, so you, so the public can see what's happening with workload over time, and also results. What is the result of their work? And so for communications, for example, call volume. What's been the call volume coming in for priority one calls? That's a workload factor. Result factor is going to be time to dispatch. How fast do they get those things turned around? So on each one of those charts, you're going to see trend lines and get a sense for what's happening. For example, on the call volume for the sheriff, it continues to go up. The time to dispatch has been going down. So they've made some good progress in lowering that time. For fire, the call volume has been almost steady. The time to dispatch has actually gone up. And when we charted that, then Becky saw immediately, well, that's because we're starting our quality assurance training. And what that quality assurance training does is gives more information for the dispatchers to give to the responders. And so when they get out on scene, they're going to have more information, but they're going through that training. So they're asking more questions from the caller coming in. So that did not surprise her at all. Now, after the training is done, she should see that line going down. But it gives you some information graphically of what's happening. The last is developing the strategy and working with staff. We developed, we went through their department's strengths and weaknesses, what's working well, where do they need some help, and then also looking from the outside, what kind of threats they were faced with, what opportunities they could come up with that might help. And then they developed a list of tactics and initiatives. Those are the things that are going to have very often budget impacts, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's process and procedures, but they're sharing that with the board so you know what kind of work they're doing to improve their operations. One last thing is it's important to note that these plans, as with a county plan and that's completed, they don't sit on a shelf. These are something that you should see every year updated. You should get quarterly reports on how things are going and with the tactics, the initiatives, the projects going forward as you go. So that's what it is. You will see it in your budget. So I just wanted to come in and give you a heads up of what it is and where it came from. But it did come from your departments and the staff, which again, congratulations on a wonderful staff.
Great. Let's see if anybody in the public has any questions for you. Any public comment for Ms. Ritter? How about you, Commissioner Gilman? Do you have anything for Linda?
I have nothing. Thank you, Linda.
Ms. Chair?
Hi, Linda. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
My only question at this point is there any sort of hierarchy to these metrics? In other words, is there a way for us to, at a glance, determine which of these metrics are the most crucial, have the most impact? Is there a way to organize them such where when we're doing reviews, there would be a way either graphically or some other way that makes it easy for us to tell what matters the most to the performance of the department?
Right. And we could certainly do that in the plans themselves. Now, something Austin and I have talked about is when you get your starting to do a quarterly report, where those metrics that are very critical, we would bring those to you, but not only bring them to you and show you what the graph looks like, but an explanation of what's really mm-hmm. happening. Because depending on what's happening out on the ground, certain metrics are going to be really critical for you to look at. And then when that situation is taken care of, maybe it's not as important. So I think where you're going to see emphasis is at the quarterly report side. On the budget document, what we wanted to give you is some metrics that give kind of a overall flavor of what's happening with workload and how they're doing on the results. And I have to tell you, we're working on metrics. There's a lot of departments don't have them yet. Mm-hmm. So we're building systems right now. And as I've told departments, don't count for the sake of counting. Let's get metrics that really have a purpose and mean something to you. And some departments may not have a metric. There's not everything is measurable. But yeah, we would highlight those as a quarterly report going forward because they change, but the budget should give you a snapshot of what's happening.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. I'm just thinking, we certainly our role is not one to get involved in the day to day. And so anything that helps us really, if there is something we need to pay attention to or dig deeper, it's Absolutely. Super helpful. It makes it more actionable, right?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Austin Osborne. One thing that's been helpful also is not just the metrics on these things, but already with the draft strategic plans, when we're working with budgets right now and department heads are requesting staffing, pieces of equipment, other expenditures, this has been tremendously helpful. Before, it was narrative and discussion, sometimes argument, and there was no data behind it. Already with the SWOT analyses and the assessments of each department and all the specifics, even outside these measurement points, it has been tremendously helpful in the budget to get some of the departments, some of the resources they've needed, now looking at things that actually matter, real data to say, well, because let's go ahead and support an expenditure and know that it's not just being done, without any review.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for you at this time, Linda, so thank you for the update.
Okay, and, thank you.
Look forward to the next one. Moving right along to item number 11, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 21-637, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2021-2022 fiscal year, and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with adjustments, adding an event and business development manager for the Virginia City Tourism Commission position.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we dive in, I believe there's just an inversion of two of the numbers in the agenda. I believe it's resolution 21-673. I don't know if that affects anything, but that's what's written onto the resolution itself. So instead of 637, I just thought I would note that up front because I'm pretty sure it's 673.
Noted. Thank you.
Yep.
Good morning, Jeannie Green. We're requesting approval of the revision to the pay resolution. VCTC had a minor reorganization and reassignment of responsibilities, resulting in the newly proposed class of event and business development manager at grade 128. And we're further requesting that the approval of this resolution be retroactive to February 14th of this year. And that was the date that the request was received in the HR office.
Is that it?
That's it, yes.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I don't know if she has anything. Is there any public comment regarding this item from anyone on Zoom? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeannie?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
I don't have any questions for Jeannie. I would have appreciated maybe having someone from VCTC that we could have just asked what this kind of what the reorganization was and the impact on the organization. But I can do that offline.
I know Rebecca is there. She want to chime in on behalf of the VCTC? Nope. I'm on the board. Somebody left and then they put somebody else in to take in that spot with extra duties. So in a nutshell, that's essentially sure. What this boils down to.
Sure. Understood. I'm just curious from a kind of an organizational perspective, the added value that comes from that person taking on those duties. So,
yeah,
but again, I can take that offline. That's fine.
No problem.
Yep.
All right. Not seeing any questions from the commission or from the public. Would you entertain a motion?
I'd be happy to. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve resolution number 21-673, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2021-2022 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with adjustments added, adding an event and business development manager for Virginia City Tourism Commission position.
Second motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie. All right, bringing us on item number 12, this is going to recess to convene as a Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 13, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of modifications to the Master Services short form contract with NV Energy, identified as Exhibit D, to increase funds allocated to the fire district in the amount of $393,062.40 to hire 8 seasonal firefighters, purchase a crew cab pickup, and increase funding for other miscellaneous equipment. Chief.
Hi, good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar again for the record. As attached in your packet, I've put the Exhibit D that does outline what changes we're asking for. So in our agreement with NV Energy, anything that had to deal with personnel or over $100,000, I said I would bring back to the board. And this is exactly that, dealing with both. So our end objective is to put our seasonal staffing under NV Energy funds. That helps us as a fire district, because when they're not actively combating wildland fires, they could be doing fuels project and NV Energy will pick up that bill for us. So this is just removing our seasonal positions from the district, putting them on our NV Energy funding, as well as providing them a vehicle and the equipment for them to get started. So additional radios, PPEs, some equipment for the vehicle and so forth. But again, this is just a PO increase. So this is additional money for the district. So almost another $400,000, which brings us almost $3.5 million total in funding that we will receive from NV Energy. And I'll take any questions if you have any.
Fantastic. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13? As a reminder on Zoom, you can use raise your hand or star 6 to unmute yourself if you've called in. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the chief?
No comments at this time. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
Just one or two questions. Chief, would you remind me the duration of the agreement with NV Energy? Is it kind of a period to period?
It is. It is. And we are going to be kind of buttoning up year one of a 3-year agreement. We're a little behind other districts or fire departments within the state. So I know that they are currently renewing other places right now. So I anticipate a renewal here in about 3 years from now.
Okay, thank you. With that in mind, I just wanted to ask about kind of the risk mitigation and from a perspective of if things change drastically on NV Energy side and how they approach these particular duties that they need done, what are we looking at? Is it at unwinding or reversing these changes if that needs to happen? Is that fairly simple to do? We're not going down a road that takes a lot of kind of, backing up to get back to our previous structure if we need to.
So I kind of want to address that in two different ways. One, in entering this agreement, staffing was our largest concern, because what happens to my people, right? We're bringing on these people. We want security. We want essentially forever homes. It's just finding forever funding to keep these people going. So in this agreement, those are locked in. So we know, and we provided the full disclosures in conjunction with HR to ensure that they understand that this is a grant funded position, but we are also going to be very proactive in seeking other funding, not putting all those eggs in that NV Energy basket. We've got 2 grants right now we're currently working on to, if needed, we can extend that. So on the personnel side, they are locked in for the duration of this agreement. Which is a positive for our people. The second thing that's a good positive for us as well is the equipment, we'll buy it. And as we buy it, they write it off. They give us the check, but we work it off. To date, although we've purchased, and you can kind of see down here, I mean, the cat skid steer, the grappling rake, the chip truck, we purchased $400,000 to $500,000, and don't quote me on those numbers exactly, in equipment through NV Energy that we've worked off. And now currently we're sitting at, we only own around $200,000. And that's pretty close to what we owe them as far as equipment that we need to work off. It is our equipment. Every day that goes by, we send them a new invoice that brings that down. I anticipate by year 2 of the 3-year contract that we are locked into, that we will have all equipment 100% paid for, 100% Story County Fire Protection District. And then it's just a matter of writing the contract out for our folks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions, Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for you. I'm glad to hear that the equipment's getting paid off quickly. That's definitely a bonus. And that's all I have for you. So with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi-Fi Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the modifications to the Master Services short form contract with NV Energy Exhibit D in the amount of $393,062.40 to hire up to 8 seasonal staff, purchase a vehicle, and acquire other associated miscellaneous equipment.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Item number 14, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval for the district fire chief to pursue and report back to, the Board of Fire Commissioners, financing options to fund the purchase of 2 Type 3 wildland brush engines in fiscal year 2022-2023.
Yes, Commissioners. As outlined within our capital improvement plan, we understand that we need to start replacing these 20-year-old brush trucks that are, when we send them out, they're creating more maintenance problems, not performing, and becoming to a point where they're not reliable. And that's something we don't like within the fire service, is something that's not reliable. So in line with our capital improvement plan, I'm just essentially looking to the board and being very transparent of, let's look at funding options. And one option that I'm kind of looking at is a 3-year medium term obligation, which we know that we can financially support, that would get us the 2 now, but also once that medium term obligation's up, we could look at another 2 and replace our fleet within a matter of 3 years. That keeps us with consistent models, consistent spec, easier for my crew to adapt to as they move from station to station. So this is just to start the process, not signing any documents, but to explore all the options and come back and report what we think is a fiscally responsible way to pursue this purchase.
All right. Any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the chief?
I have no questions. I understand. We are authorizing the chief to pursue and report back to the board his financing options to fund these purchases. And keeping in mind the fiscal responsibility that we have as commissioners, as we expend funds for our county, I think it's very important that we watch this bottom line and that we have strong justification for adding additional equipment as we go. I certainly understand the need for safety and visibility and retiring older equipment, but from a financial standpoint, I certainly encourage that we be frugal as we move forward.
Noted, Commissioner. Thank you. Vice Chair?
Chief, would you just outline kind of the plan that's currently in place, just the replacement schedule, so that we have a clear picture of kind of what the difference is were we to go with something like
that? Yeah, so right now within our capital improvement plan, we were looking at replacing one of our Type 3s, ease up on our ambulance replacement program and inject our Type 3s. Because they are over 20 years old, we do need to start replacing them. So versus just looking at one, many of our neighbors have went along the same path and able to get 2, but pay them for the course of 3 years. So they stay somewhat in line with their capital improvement plan as far as getting the equipment replaced, but it's getting 2 at a shot. And again, this is just an option. This is kind of one thing that I'm exploring, but it does fit within our finances and our capital improvement plan. So it's a good place to start. Again, I want to explore a lot of different options and bring it back, and we can collectively find the best way to pursue this purchase.
So just to make sure I understand it, as opposed to the option that we're exploring is as opposed to maybe replacing one every 2 years or something in that range, we're looking at accelerating the delivery on the equipment, but the funding would still cover roughly the same time frame.
And that is correct. And we've used not similar, but some small interest USDA loans in the past. So the district is not unfamiliar to these loans or other grant options. This one is, to my understanding, something that's new. So versus trying to pay for one unit outright this year, if we can extend it with minimal, you know, financial increase, that would just be a good way to get us into more similar make and models. And that makes it easier on the shop and the staff.
Sure. Understood. Well, I'm, you know, in general, as a principal, I'm opposed to taking on debt obligations if it's possible to cash flow, but I do see the potential benefit. I have no problem with exploring these options. That's all I got.
My only question, there's no way to work these into the NV Energy grant, right?
Unfortunately, not these units. These are the bigger units that we utilize within the county that can essentially do a ton of work, but not in some of the most remote areas. NV Energy needs kind of that pickup, that type 5 or type 6. And if you envision in your head, so I'm not throwing out jargon, more of the pickup style. To get out to these very remote areas along the pole lines. So that fits their mission. That's the equipment that fits their mission. Ours is a little different, is we're all hazard. We want to make sure that when we send it out, it's as heavily equipped as we can possibly make it to where no matter what they come across, they're able to deal with it. But it just doesn't have the same ability to get some of the remote areas.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you for that. Not seeing any public comment, no more questions. Do you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the district fire chief to pursue financing options to purchase 2 Type 3 Wildland brush engines in fiscal year 2022-2023 and report the findings back to the Board of Fire Commissioners.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that motion. Thank you.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you,
Chief. Good luck on your search. All right. Item number 15 is to adjourn to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Bringing us to item number 16, consideration and possible approval for the Story County Water Department Board of Commissioners to approve the submittal of the Economic Development Administration Economic Adjustment Assistance Grant application for the Comstock Historic Water System Improvement Project, requesting $6,714,316.25 as the funding award amount, with an estimated match of $1,342,863.25 required. Honey.
Good morning. Honey Tapley for the record. I'm going to use the acronym EDA instead of saying Economic Development Administration over and over again. So, in July of last year, 2021, the EDA opened up a grant that was part of the American Rescue Act plan, and the grant is called the Economic Adjustment Assistance Grant. And it is a competitive grant, and it does have that match requirement of 20%. The focus for the grant is on job creation and retention and resiliencies for all the regions that were impacted by COVID. So pretty much everyone in the United States fit into that eligibility category. But we had to be really specific and delineate how we would create jobs through the project that we are going to apply for. There were many pre-application requirements. So our project had to be listed on the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS, that we submit annually to the Western Nevada Development District. We had to have an extensive preliminary engineering report done and also an environmental assessment. We had to notify the State Historic Preservation Office and not get their approval at this time because it was just an application process, but we had to have comments from them regarding what the work could potentially involve and their acknowledgement that we had just reached out to them. We had to register with the State of Nevada Grant Office and get approval for the project as well, and to be given a state application identifier number. And along with all of that, we had to be in constant communication with our regional representative through the EDA throughout the whole grant application process. So the project that we are applying for is a water project, and it's just part of the Story County system improvements that need to be done overall. So we're just looking at a little chunk of that. And we called the project the Comstock Historic District Water System Improvement Project. And there's a reason that we named it the Comstock Historic District Project and not just the Story County Water Improvement Project, because the grant application questions were very specific regarding the region that would be impacted, where the work was going to be done, how the jobs would be impacted specifically for the region benefited, which is the Comstock. And as it is a competitive grant, we felt that because our biggest industry here on the Comstock is tourism, and we could write that into the narrative really well to explain how this is going to retain the jobs that we already have going. We estimated roughly, and it was a very rough estimate, that there are about 758 jobs already in place on the Comstock, and that with this new project, we would create, just during the duration of the project, about 30 new jobs for the region. And so instead of saying the Story County Water System Improvement Project, we stuck with that Comstock Historic District Improvement Project, because there are going to be a panel of reviewers looking at this, and we didn't want to cause confusion as to, you know, TRI is part of Story County. TRI is not benefited by this project. It's specifically the Comstock. And the smaller projects that make up the whole gamut, it's the B Street and Union Street water main replacement, the Divide water main upsizing, the Silver City transmission main replacement, and the Taylor tank replacement. And the environmental assessment and preliminary engineering reports were completed by Far West, and they were turned in to me in January. And both documents had specific requirements and were seriously comprehensive if you were able to read through them. I do have extra copies printed out. I wanted to point out that there is a correction in the packet that I sent in originally for this meeting. I had three smaller pages outside of the PER, or the preliminary engineering report. And one of them had the project timeline. And on that initial page, it said that the construction improvements would take about 12 months and would be completed on December 24th. That is incorrect, and they estimate that it'll be completed as of May 2024. And these are all estimates. We just had to have estimates put in place for this application. So that would be the only correction that would be in the packet. So I had to take both those documents, and I had to write up several narratives. Literally, it was about 30 to 40 different narratives, taking those documents to answer the questions. And those narratives had to explain the economic situation of the region, as well as the demographics, and how everything aligns with the focus of the grant as far as job creation and retention is concerned. We had to be very specific as to how we were going to keep jobs on the Comstock. And I was in contact with our regional representative from the beginning, and a few months into it, she felt that in order to maintain our competitiveness, we needed to get as many letters as possible from all the business owners and nonprofits on the Comstock. And I did reach out to as many as I could. Businesses, you know, are often not open this time of year, many of which at lunch times when they are open were so busy that I did not bother them. But I had several emails and walked door to door, and I got a good lot of responses, and I was very pleased with that. And I just want to thank everybody. They were very supportive, and, you know, their letters were really good to show, you know, obviously what business can function without water. So it wasn't a huge stretch to, you know, create fantastic stories, but they really impressed upon how many people they had working for them, how important it is for tourism that these their establishments stay open. So I am very appreciative of everyone who wrote a letter. So the agenda item says the total estimate for the project is $6,714,316.25, with our required match being $1,342,863.25 if awarded. Wow. I do have to note that the original deadline for the application was March 31st, but on February 10th, the EDA sent me an email saying that we needed to get our application in as quickly as possible, as the funds were being awarded quickly and potentially could run out. So I submitted our application on February 21st. And if the board chooses not to approve this application submission, it can be pulled at any time. So we won't have any issue over that. Initially, our regional representative was afraid that our application might not be competitive enough because of the job creation retention requirement. And she was afraid it would be thrown out initially upon receipt, but I am pleased to say that has been approved for meeting the EDA's eligibility and competitive standards and has moved on to the next phase of the review process. I said all of this to just kind of highlight, this was an eye-opening process for any time we're now going to go forward with any federal grants. Even for our state level representatives and politicians, when they are doing their funding earmarks for the year, they like to see that we have tried in every way to apply for all funding possible. So just even applying and for these grants is a huge benefit to us. And I think it showed us how better to maybe proceed next time with greater ease and some of the things that need to be done ahead of time so as to not be scrambling so much. But yeah, I feel that the fact that it got through, there's a good chance we could, you know, move on to the next phase shortly. And because they are awarding funds, as soon as the reviewers go through the applications, it's not like waiting till June for everybody to be done. They award it as soon as they decide on that. So I will happily take any questions.
Thank you, Honey. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not see any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
No questions, other than a comment that it certainly is an arduous task to get to the bottom line. And Honey, what a project to undertake. Complicated and a lot of work, but thank you for what you're doing there on it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'll echo what Commissioner Gilman said. You know, it seems that in many ways the financial center of gravity has shifted towards the federal government. And so, to access a lot of these funds, these are the hoops that we have to jump through. I don't have any particular questions for Honey. Two things kind of bounced together in my mind, and maybe they don't have anything to do with each other, but I remembered Mike saying they were looking at potentially reordering what streets we were looking at prioritizing for resurfacing or the order here in Virginia City. And I don't know if this has anything to do with this, but sure would be nice if we could align the timing, assuming this does come through, so that we're not repaving a street that we're about to tear up again to do a water project. So if it works out, it seems like that would be an efficient way to coordinate timelines, so we're not repaving more than we need to, and we're getting the maximum benefit out of the work that needs to be done. I don't know if this is crazy and off in left field, but someone I was talking to yesterday was lamenting that when we did the sewer project, that we weren't able to throw fiber down in the trenches and wire up the town. And again, I don't know if it's too far-fetched to think that there was something like that that could be done in conjunction with future water uses, but I just thought I'd mention it as maybe something to think about. I know a lot of times grants have restrictions on what can and can't be done, but maybe something to consider. So thank you for your work on this.
May I say one more thing?
Please.
I'm not sure if I included it in the packet, but I do have the map of the locations, so that can get passed on to the other road developing parties. So
fantastic.
Do you want to respond to any of that?
Do I want a response? Go ahead.
To Commissioner Mitchell, yeah. Austin Husband for the record. I know at the time we were putting in the sewer project, I don't know about fiber, but we couldn't have put water in the trench because it would have taken, first of all, another grant to pay for the water in the trench. There's separation of sewer and water that's involved. This project was developed as far as priority based on, you know, the level of need for the water infrastructure and the Comstock and really items in our backbone that if they go out or there was a catastrophic failure would be a catastrophic budget situation of the system. So but your other thoughts on here, we certainly would be happy to work as a team and see if we can try to maybe move roads around granting of this, and so we can put the CIP road on top of the granted sewer or water line. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have much for you, honey. Obviously, if we could plan our construction like Commissioner Gilman, Commissioner Mitchell said, I think that would be very anti-government of us to actually do something and not have to tear it up 3 months later. So that would be great. You know, I just want to thank you for your work. I know it's not an easy process. So keep it up, and hopefully we will be successful in this project. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman, you want to entertain a motion?
I'm happy to. Given the time frame on this, would it be more accurate to say that we're ratifying the submittal, or because it's already been submitted, or does it really matter? It's an approve the submittal.
I'd probably leave it as written in the agenda language, okay, unless Keith disagrees, but are you fine with that, honey? Okay.
Can I say one more thing? So sorry.
Of course.
The comptroller is aware of all this. She also had to write a letter for this. So the match, like that has already been talked about with the comptroller.
Great. Thank you. I have one more question, if it's all right, Chair.
Please.
When you were talking about the job creation retention element, was there much discussion about potential future growth?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of one of my narratives was to describe what we're going to do with the V&T depot, what is going on with the fairgrounds, getting the water to them, and then what is hoped to happen with more residential builds, which would also, you know, need more water for that. But
great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Great. Well, with that, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the submittal of the Economic Development Administration Economic Adjustment Assistance Grant application for the Comstock Historic District Water System Improvement Project, requesting $6,714,316.25 as the funding award amount, with an estimated match of $1,342,863.25 required.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again for all your hard work, honey. Moving right along to item number 17 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 18. For those following along, I think we've ventured on to part two of our agenda packet. Discussion and possible approval of subdivision settlement participation form, which will have the effect of releasing Amerisource Bergen Drug Corporation, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, all of whom are distributors of opioids, of all claims against the distributors arising out of the opioid epidemic in Story County. By signing the subdivision settlement participation form, the county is joining in the distributor settlement agreement and is entitled to the benefits and is subject to the burdens of that agreement. The reported amount of the settlement will be $231 billion to be paid over 18 years.
Million. That'd be million.
Million. $231 million paid over 18 years. Keith?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I take responsibility for the length of the package that we have here. I know that the distributor settlement agreement was like 610 and the other Janssen was 190. What I kind of like to do is discuss 18 and 19 together. 19 is the same issue, but with regard to Janssen, which is the pharmaceutical arm of Johnson & Johnson in the settlement of the opioid litigation with that entity also. They're related. What I'd basically like to say is that, so this is four defendants out of a myriad of a total group of defendants. And so all we're talking about is the settlement with these four defendants. The three distributors distributed the bulk of the opioid medicines in the nation, while Johnson & Johnson has a lesser impact. They're measured at something like 0.5% or 1% of the market in Nevada. And I have with us today Mark Krueger, who is the deputy chief deputy attorney general from the attorney general's office, who has been probably the lead government attorney in addressing the opioid litigation, which may be doing that for the rest of his career. So, Mark, are you on?
I am. Thank you. Mark Krueger for the record.
So the only other thing I would say really before I turn this over to Mark is that both of these settlement agreements referenced a global settlement agreement, which would involve many states and many local government entities. There was a requirement that there be a sufficient number of other governmental entities signing off on a global settlement agreement for this agreement to take effect. And as of last week, I think they made an announcement, both of the groups made an announcement that yes, they'd received enough involvement in participation in the settlement agreement to move forward with the global settlement agreement. I think the reference was there were 46 states that were signing off on this, and that there were 90% of the local government entities were signing off on this. I think that all of the local government entities, with the exception of Story County at this point, have signed off on it, and the state has signed off on it. And Mark, if you could address these settlement agreements, I think that could be helpful.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. Mark Krueger, again, for the record, Chief Deputy Attorney General. And I want to thank the board, and I appreciate your assistance in getting these participation forms approved, as well as the amendment. The participation forms are necessary for each signatory to the One Nevada Agreement, which you on the allocation of opioid recoveries, which this board has already approved. The reason that they're necessary is because there is a contingency in the agreements that if we get every single signatory to the agreement, we get the maximum amount of dollars, which is the $231 million referenced earlier. If we don't, then it's reduced proportionately. So it's important for the state to see the maximum amount of money recovered. And then the last thing I want to address on this particular one, and I certainly can answer any other questions, is that while the amount of money that's allocated to individual counties or cities, it's allocated through the One Nevada Agreement, one of the things that I've been recommending to many counties is that you look and consider joining with other counties, much like you guys did with the Quad County participation to address the pandemic, that you could partner up with other counties to get the services necessary. And that's a great way to do it. And I know that I've been in contact with Vincent over at NACO, who is going to be reaching out to all of the counties. I think he had an initial agenda on the last NACO meeting to try to coordinate with the Department of Health and Human Services to figure out the best way to address the opioid epidemic in every particular geographic area, including Story County. So with that, I can answer any other questions you have.
Is there anybody in the public that has any questions? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for either Mark or Keith?
Keith, as a follow-up for me, as I recall, we elected not to participate in this particular action, and primarily because it would have very, very little resources headed our way if the settlement was in fact reached. We couldn't identify, as I remember, and I'm kind of fishing here, Keith, but we couldn't identify any opioid impact in Story County that we could actually address or attach to. So what has changed now that we're coming back and looking this, and again, the state is looking for us to participate? Because as I remember, we declined participation some time ago.
Yes, Commissioner Gilman, that's accurate. About 2 years ago, there was a proposal made that we join in the litigation through private counsel on a contingent fee basis. The board made a decision that we did not want to participate, And in these settlement agreements, we're identified as non-litigating counties because we didn't participate. There's a number of other counties that didn't participate, and there's several that did participate. So the impact on that is, I think, that the idea of the state of Nevada was that whether we participated or not, that we would benefit from the agreement. We're not going to benefit as much as the litigating counties because there's going to be a 25% reduction of the amount that we get that will go to the litigating counties. But the money is supposed to be sent on opioid mitigation. There's some descriptions in the settlement agreements as to what constitutes opioid litigations. And you know, if, as Mr. Krueger has suggested, perhaps we can join with the quad counties in addressing opioid mitigation throughout the four counties. And I think and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but there's going to be a needs assessment done for each county to identify what needs does each county have. Is that accurate?
That's fairly accurate. There's going to be a needs assessment by the state, but the state can also provide assistance to the county to create a needs assessment. And by assistance, I mean, they actually have the expertise to be able to help the counties develop their own needs assessment. And then that needs assessment would identify particular programs that might be beneficial within the state. And I think you're correct in that, and Mr. Loomis correctly brought up the history about how we got here. But the one addition I'd like to add is that the One Nevada agreement was an agreement that the Attorney General's office has basically sponsored and gotten all of the counties, whether they're litigating or non-litigating, to participate. The reason being is the money is going to be coming anyway through these settlements. And opioids they're like fire. They don't care about county lines. So it'd be better to get everybody's participation and have some money funneled into every single location geographically in the state. And that's the idea behind it. And that's the intent. And Mr. Loomis is correct. There are not only identified uses for abatement, but there's also guidance within a recent legislation that was passed last session.
Well, there is, by my follow-up, by Story County now joining and agreeing to move forward with this, it's going to increase the amount of the award that is possible here in the future for the state. Is that correct?
For these two settlements, that's correct. If you don't join, then the amount of the award for the entire state of Nevada, including the subdivisions, will be reduced. But by joining it, it ensures the maximum amount of $231 million for this one and $53 million for the other one will come in.
Is it exposing our county to any additional financial impacts by joining at this late time?
No, you're not being exposed to any negative financial impacts, only a positive financial impact in that you will receive an allocation underneath the One Nevada agreement, which you already approved.
Thank Maybe you, I can expand on that a little bit, because we're a non-litigating county doesn't mean we could choose to litigate, and that would mean that we're not releasing these entities from the possibility of further liability. But by signing off on the release agreements, we're saying we're not going to be involved in this. We're not going to sue you. And by signing, we won't be able to. So that's one of the reasons for why we would get to the maximum amount of the award to the state.
Thank you, Keith. I have no more questions on that basis.
Thanks, Chair.
I'm good. Thank you.
I don't know that I have any questions for either one of you. So thank you for that. Not seeing any public comment, no more questions from the commission. You want to entertain a motion?
And if I might, Ted, could we do items 18 and 19 as separate motions? 18 would be for the distributors and 19 would be for Jansen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the subdivision settlement participation agreement with the release agreement and or the settlement agreement with Amerisource, Bergen Drug Corporation, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Clay. And a second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of settlement participation form, which will have the effect of releasing Johnson and Johnson from all claims arising out of the opioid epidemic in Story County. By signing the settlement participation form, the county is joining in the Janssen settlement agreement and is entitled to the benefits, and it's subject to the burdens of that agreement. The term of the agreement is for the payment of $53,508,792.63, 95% of which will be paid off in 2022 to the state of Nevada. The state will in turn distribute those funds in accordance with the One Nevada agreement. Keith?
Okay, this is essentially the same settlement agreement. It's a different entity. There's some slightly different impact as to the global settlement agreement, but since the global settlement agreement looks like it's going to be pursued, it'll be essentially the same. And I have distributed a calculations as to how much the county would receive under this one as well as the previous one. And if you have any additional questions, I'm happy to answer them, or Mr. Kruger would be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Keith. Is there any public comment regarding item number 19? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Mark or Keith? You're on mute.
No, I'm good. Thank you, Clay. I apologize for that muteness.
No problem. Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you. I have to restrain myself when I want to make jokes, because then that just makes the minutes harder. So,
yeah. I feel you. I don't have any questions for either Keith or Mark. So with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Let me have to. Aye, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the settlement. Chair to sign.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 20, this discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action to approve amendment to One Nevada agreement by reducing the contingent fee from 25% to 15% for the attorneys representing the state of Nevada in certain cities and counties in Nevada.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was a in my discussion with Mark, a requirement was made by the judge in the multi-district litigation, saying that the private attorneys could not get more than 15%. And so the One Nevada agreement is being amended to reflect that change. Can you expand on that, Mark?
Yeah, that's correct.
Reducing the amount is going to be allocated to the private attorneys representing the state, and I guess the individual local government subdivisions, from 25% to 15%.
The litigating ones, that's correct. And unfortunately, because of the judge's order that was issued in the multi-district litigation, which is out of Ohio, that only applies to the litigating subdivisions, but it does not apply to the non-litigating or the state. So this is kind of more of a procedural issue. We'd just like to have everybody's signature to sign off so that the One Nevada agreement has been amended. It doesn't affect Story County or the state of Nevada.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 20? I don't see any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Mark or Keith?
No, certainly. So we have no impacts to the county. I'm certainly comfortable with this action.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, same here.
All right. I have nothing either. So would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the amendment to the One Nevada agreement and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you, Keith. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mark. Moving right along to item number 21, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible action of business license second readings, A through F. Is there any public comment regarding these business license readings? I don't see any public comment. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
I move to approve the business license second readings listed under item 21 as A through F.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Vote passes unanimously. Congratulations to these new businesses. Moving right along to item number 22 is public comments. This is the second and final time public comment will be taken in this meeting. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. We are moving on to item number 23, adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:34 and the meeting is over. We will see you all in a couple weeks.